Welcome or welcome back to Horse for Whore. I'm Mariah.
And I'm Kayla.
And happy October! When we're recording this, it's October 2nd.
Finally.
Our high holy season.
The only time that matters.
September is a good month. Yeah. Pre-October.
Okay, I agree.
That's and November, post-October.
Yeah, November is pretty good too.
In case you didn't miss it, those are our birthday months.
Okay.
It's Kayla's week. Oh my god, I feel like you haven't been on the podcast in a while, because it was Leslie, and then we took a week off. No, we took 2 weeks off.
But we took a little more off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I'm ready for this. I'm sure our listeners have missed you.
I hope so. I'm going to cover the Bear Brook murders, and you said you haven't heard this.
Uh-uh.
Okay, good. So when I found it, I thought it was unsolved, and then it turns out it was solved, like, 2-3 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Based off of DNA.
Mm, love it.
But we're going to cover murdering of children.
Ugh.
So there's your trigger warning. Everyone else can get out of this. Mariah can't.
I wish I had that remote from and Click. And then I just speed this up.
Oh, no. I hated that movie.
Oh, really? I thought it was cute.
Nah, I didn't like it. We're going to kind of go and like some weird directions for this, so
okay,
it'll be a trip.
All right.
November 10th, 1985, these hunters were in the woods in the Bear Brook State Park, which is in Allenstown, New Hampshire, and they found this like metal barrel, and one of them just decided they were gonna look inside of it.
Oh, hell no.
And they found two female bodies. One was an adult and one was a child between the ages of 5 and 10 years old. So the bodies were determined to have been decomposing in the barrel between 6 months and 3 years before they were even found.
Well, that's a big timeline, or a big gap, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I also think that they had two different decomposition rates, so I don't think they were killed at the same time.
Okay. That's fucked up.
The police conducted interviews of nearby neighborhoods, but nobody knew anything. So the running theory was that they were a mother and daughter, and they were victims of domestic violence.
Aw, statistically speaking, I mean, yes.
Yeah. So by the 2000s, the case went cold, and then eventually the bodies were buried without being identified.
Aw.
May 9th of 2000, there's a new detective on the case, and I'm assuming it's the cold case detective. His name is John Cody. He went to the scene where the bodies were found. Just trying to look for new clues.
Oh, okay.
And he found a second barrel.
Oh, what?
It was about 100 yards from where the first one was found. And so the initial thought was that the second barrel was dumped with the first one and then just wasn't discovered because, like, teenage kids, like, moved it around or whatever. Like, I don't know.
I don't know. Just 100 yards. I feel like that's something that should be included in their, like, police search.
Initial, like...
Yeah.
Search the area? Yeah, maybe. So, there was something else about, like, the density of, like, the trees and the brush and something. So, there could be, like, an actual, like, scientific answer for that, but...
Sounds like excuses.
So, the second barrel had yet another two bodies in it, both of them children.
Oh my gosh!
One was between 1 and 3 years old, and the second one was between 2 and 4 years old. And at this point, both of the bodies were completely skeletonized.
Oh.
Well, I mean, like, first barrel was found in 1985.
Oh.
And the second barrel was found in 2000.
Okay, that would make sense.
The victims in the first barrel died of blunt force trauma, and the victims in the second barrel died by, quote, homicide by beating.
So blunt force trauma?
Yeah, right. So, from this point on, the victims are referred to as the Allenstown Four.
Mm-hmm.
They had poor dental work, so another running theory is that they weren't, quote, visible members of the public.
Hmm.
Which is why they think no one came forward to identify them, and then they also didn't match any missing persons reports.
That's sad.
And then in 2014... there were DNA testings that showed that the woman and the child in the first barrel were maternally related. And the woman was also maternally related to the youngest child in the second barrel. So possibly a mother, but could also be an aunt.
Okay.
That's all we know about them right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you about a few other people, and this is how we get our suspect.
All right, tell me.
So, first one is Eunsoon Jun. In 2002, she disappeared from her home in Richmond, California. She was in a relationship with a man named Larry Vanner, or Lawrence William Vanner. So Vanner was brought in for questioning. The police ended up finding out that there's no information on Lawrence Vanner. So they run his fingerprints, and they found a different name, and it's Curtis Kimball.
Huh.
So Vanner / Kimball was arrested, his house was searched, and then they discovered Eunsoon Jun's body.
Oh my gosh.
She died of blunt force trauma, and he buried her under a pile of cat litter.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. But because of this, this is our suspect. So He pled guilty to second-degree manslaughter and was sentenced to 15 years in prison. Or 15 years to life.
Second degree? How could you, I guess they, maybe they weren't able to find motive? He pled out. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, he pled out. So, the second person I want to talk about is Lisa Jensen. In 2002, Curtis Kimball, a.k.a. Vanner, a.k.a.
There's more names?
There's at least four.
Jesus.
There are definitely four and probably more.
Oh my moly.
Yeah, so this guy was actually on parole for child abandonment from 1989. His second alias is Gordon Jensen.
Wait, so it's the same person?
Same person. Right now we have Larry Vanner, and then we have Curtis Kimball, and now we have Gordon Jensen.
Yeah.
All the same person.
Okay.
So Gordon Jensen lived in a trailer park in Santa Cruz, California, with a little girl named Lisa Jensen, who he claimed was his daughter. In 1986, Gordon tried to have Lisa adopted, but then he fled before it was finalized, which caused her to go into foster care, and then eventually she was adopted.
Poor girl.
So he just left. So he was charged with child abandonment and sentenced to 3 years, but he fled. So this alias was charged with child abandonment.
What a little bitch.
And technically a sentence. Yeah. So the police had questioned Lisa to see if she had any other siblings, and she stated that they had all died from eating grass mushrooms.
Grass mushrooms.
Yeah, that's just what she said. So as Lisa got older, she wanted to know more about her family. And August 23rd of 2003, at the age of 22, she got results from her DNA testing, which confirmed that the man she thought was her father, a.k.a. Gordon Jensen, was not related to her at all.
Wow.
Can you stop? Yeah.
What the fuck?
So because of this, the police started investigating because they all thought that Lisa was probably kidnapped.
Yeah.
When she was younger. So with the help of genetic genealogist Barbara Ray Venter, do you know that name?
Mm-mm. No.
She helped ID the Golden State Killer.
Oh my god! We love her. Mm-hmm.
So the police worked with her, and they found Lisa's maternal grandfather who lived in New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
So she's adopted in California, but she came from New Hampshire. That's so far.
That is so far. Literally across the country. Literally.
So Lisa had actually been born as Dawn Bowden, and her mother was Denise Bowden, who, fun fact, had not been heard from since Lisa was 6 months old.
Murdered.
She's been missing this whole time.
Oh my god.
Next person we're going to talk about is Denise Bowden.
Okay.
So in September 26th of 1981, Denise was last seen in Goffston, New Hampshire. It was her boyfriend named Bob Evans.
Obsessed.
And their daughter Dawn were last seen after a Thanksgiving dinner with her family. Just a few days later, December 1st of 1981, her family members went to her home, but they found nobody there. And I guess they just decided she just left because she had financial issues and never reported her missing.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so photos confirmed that Bob Evans was a match to the man named Gordon Jensen, /Larry Vanner/Curtis Kimball.
Oh, they're...
So this is the same guy.
I was like, okay, same lots of names. And then it clicked in my head.
Yep. So Bob Evans is another alias. The Allenstown Four were found less than 20 miles from where Denise had lived. And there's speculation that Denise was another victim, obviously. Yeah. Denise's DNA was tested. So remember, at this point, we still don't know who the people are in the barrel. So they thought maybe the adult female in the barrel, in the first barrel, was Denise. Yeah. So they did DNA testing, and it comes back, and it's not a match to any of them. So in 2016, the police reported Denise Bowden as missing.
Oh my God.
Her family just... How do you not report that? Yeah. So another DNA test was administered by the police on Bob Evans' DNA, which came back as a match to the middle child found in the second barrel. And it turns out she was his daughter. So this suspect allegedly killed a lady and two possible daughters of hers and his own daughter. And then we have no idea where Denise is. And then, like, potentially kidnapped Lisa Jensen. And then just fucking dropped her off across the country and went, I'm out of here. I just don't understand what was going through his head. August 18th of 2017, using DNA, the police identified the Allenstown Four's killer as Terry Peter Rasmussen.
What a lame name.
Peter is P-E-D-E-R.
D? No.
P-E-D-E-R. Peter. Peter.
Should be Peter.
Yeah. Well, say it however you want. He was born December 23rd of 1943 from Denver, Colorado.
What? Represent Colorado.
I don't think this is a representation.
I have a Colorado shirt on.
Colorado's great, but like not for serial killers. Actually, Colorado breeds a lot.
I know. I feel like
killers.
We talked a lot about either serial killers born here or coming here.
Yeah.
Which I guess it kind of is like a transient
middle ground
city.
Yeah. So Peter dropped out of the 10th grade and joined the Navy in 1961.
They always do that.
Yeah, right?
Oh my gosh.
Discharged in 67, moved to Hawaii, married somebody in 68. They both moved to Phoenix in 1969, had twin daughters in 69, moved to California in 1970, had a son that same year. 1972, they have a third daughter, and then also same year, they separated, and he moved back to Phoenix.
That was a lot in a short time span.
It's just... Unstable. So they temporarily reconciled, and then the last time, and I guess this is coming from, I don't know who this is coming from, actually. I have no idea. Rasmussen allegedly last saw his family in 1975 or 1976 in Arizona, and he told them that he lived in Texas, which I don't even really know that, because family lives in California, he lived in Arizona. Now all of a sudden he says he lives in Texas, and he had some unidentified woman with him. So there's speculation that it could be the lady from the barrel. So again, at this point, they think that Terry Rasmussen is a suspect in the Allenstown Four murders, but they haven't identified the victims, so it's not like 100%. Cause...
How can you link him?
Exactly. All right, so DNA.
Okay.
May 6th of 2019, DNA... helped to identify three of the four bodies with the help of the victims' families and along with the sleuthing of a research librarian named Rebecca Heath. So basically she was like looking at ancestry stuff and like she found like some of the other people that had disappeared / been murdered. There were accounts that they were with somebody named Terry or Rasmussen, and she had names of certain people who disappeared, and she kind of just put it together, and then she put it in a Facebook group, and it didn't get traction, and then she thought there was too many coincidences, so she brought it to police attention in 2018, and then in 2019, it was confirmed that the victims in the barrels were Marlise Elizabeth Honeychurch, who was 24. Mm-hmm. But she also went by Marlise Elizabeth McWaters, and apparently she had a couple of other aliases. And then her two daughters, Marie Elizabeth Vaughn, age 6, and Sarah Lynn McWaters, age 1.
Okay.
So both kids had different fathers, which is probably why she had different aliases, because she probably married them.
Yeah.
Well, no, she did. She did marry them. I know that. So, Marlise Elizabeth Honeychurch was born January 28th, 1954 in Connecticut, and she was the second of 5 kids. Her parents split, and her mom moved to California, and then she eventually moved in with her mom. So, June 12th, 1971, she married her first husband in Las Vegas, and then they had Marie by December of that year.
Yeah.
They divorced in 74, and she got custody of Marie. And then also in 74, she married her second husband. 3 years later, they had their second daughter, Sarah McWaters. And then the next year, they separated. And the father was awarded custody. Hmm. But he had some new relationship, and like he never saw her, so I guess she went back to the mom.
Oh, that's sad.
So, similar story. Thanksgiving, 1978, Marlise and her daughters were last seen at her mom's house in La Puente, California. And she brought over Terry Rasmussen with her, who was either her boyfriend or her husband at the time. We're not sure. So, that's two different cases where people have disappeared with their daughters after Thanksgiving.
He must really not like Thanksgiving.
Yeah. This was 78, and the other one was 80 or 81.
81? Oh, wow. Yeah. And they were found in 84?
A couple years later.
5?
Oh,
okay, close enough.
6? 5
Just
or
like
6?
Like 5 or 6 years later? Oh,
5. Wow. 85. So, where's my spot? I scrolled so far. There are actually a couple of other potential victims of Terry Rasmussen, but there's no way to know. So Denise Ann Denault was 25, last seen leaving a private club in Manchester, New Hampshire on June 8th of 1980. Mm-hmm. And Rasmussen, a.k.a. Bob Evans, was her neighbor.
Ugh.
Yep. And then Laureen Ron, age 14, also disappeared in Manchester, New Hampshire. And he was also her neighbor.
This dude sucks. He makes me want to punch a baby. But I would never do that.
But probably not. And then another one's a stretch, but it's a Jane Doe. She was stored in a refrigerator that was dumped in a canal in California in 1995.
Dang.
But I don't think... If he went to jail for Eunsoon Jones' murder... Oh, well, she was in 2002, so it's possible. Okay. Disregard that. Jane Doe, stored in a refrigerator, dumped in a canal in California in 1995. The reason that people are stretching this is because there was a brand of milk in the fridge that was only delivered to one specific area, which just happened to be where Rasmussen lived at the time, and she died from blunt force trauma. So, coincidence? Probably not. So, Rasmussen had a daughter who he killed and stuffed in a barrel. So, who's her mother is what other people want to know. I mean, I want to know.
Yeah, me too.
Who the heck is it? Maybe her name is Elizabeth Evans. Maybe not. But while Rasmussen was arrested as Bob Evans, his wife was listed as Elizabeth Evans on all his paperwork. Because apparently he got arrested a few times.
Yeah.
So speculation is that this missing person, Elizabeth Lamont, could be her. So she disappeared from New Hampshire in 1984 at the age of 16. And in 85, her body was found along a Tennessee highway. But she wasn't actually identified until 2018.
Jeez.
Yeah, and she died of blunt force trauma. Now, the New Hampshire AG... stated that Elizabeth Lamont is not Elizabeth Evans, and this is because Lamont was 16 in 84, but Rasmussen had stopped putting Elizabeth Evans down as his wife by 1980.
Oh. Okay.
So unlikely. Another speculation is that Marlise was actually Elizabeth Evans since her middle name was Elizabeth, but no information can be found as to the results of that investigation. Yeah. But Elizabeth Evans has never positively been identified, and we have no idea who his daughter's mother is.
Wow.
So that's wonderful.
Yeah, fucking dirtbag.
But the other part of that is, when we are talking about Lisa Jensen, the girl who he claimed was his daughter, she was taken from New Hampshire, adopted in California. She said she had other siblings and they died of grass mushrooms, whatever that means. So was she with the victims in the barrels?
I hope not. But they died of blunt force trauma, right? Well,
yeah,
homicide by beating or whatever.
Blunt force trauma and homicide by beating. So, Terry Rasmussen's daughter still has not been identified. So, in February of 2020, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the New Hampshire State Police released a new facial reconstruction for his daughter. She was between 3'3" and 3'9", with wavy brown hair. She was Caucasian with trace amounts of Asian, Native American, and African American ancestry. She possibly had anemia and an overbite. And then in 2015, they did isotope testing that shows she grew up in Wisconsin.
Aww.
So if anyone has any information that could help identify her, you can contact the New Hampshire State Police Cold Case Unit. And their number is 603-223-3856, or you can contact the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children at 1-800-THE-LOST or 1-800-843-5678.
Wait.
And that
is their number, 1-800-THE-LOST?
THE-LOST. THE-LOST. I would die.
I was like, that's kind of fucked up. THE-LOST.
We can't find him. That's fucked up. Anyway, that is the Allenstown Four, the Bear Brook murders, Terry Rasmussen, and all the stray murders he probably committed.
Fuck this guy.
Yeah.
We hate him.
Yeah, definitely.
He's the worst. So that's our episode for this week. We hope that you guys have had a fantastic start to October. We hope that you guys watched Hocus Pocus 2, because I did the night that it came out, and it was amazing.
I haven't seen
it yet. Oh my god, Kayla.
I've been, like, behind on my homework.
Oh my god. Yeah, I did all my homework during the week so I could watch it. But anyway, yeah, we love you guys. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Bye. Bye.